You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 7th, 2020, as you heard, they are now looking at a fourth stimulus package. And the left is rushing in saying, we want more pie in the sky. We want more money for green programs. We want more money for welfare. We're trying to deal with getting all of America back on footing, moving forward. Not handouts, but things that can work and add and accelerate. And benefit. The left just wants to open the bank vault, scatter it across the scenery, and say, remember, the Democrats gave it to you come voting time. President Trump is now suggesting he might consider cutting funding for the World Health Organization. I think that'd be a good idea. He says the way the WHO handled the coronavirus, he said they really blew it. He said, yet for some reason, funded largely by the U.S., yet the WHO organization is very China-centric. We're going to be giving it a good look. He said, fortunately, I rejected their advice on keeping our borders open to China early. But why do they give us such faulty recommendation? Yeah, we need to inquire about that. We give more than any other country to the World Health Organization, attribute about a fourth of their total budget. And what they're doing right now is serving China, not the world. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro apparently was one of the first ones speaking up before coronavirus hit our shores. He had been warning in a late January memo the coronavirus could hit our shores and cost the U.S. trillions of dollars if we didn't get a travel ban on China. And he called for an immediate travel ban on China dated January 29 and predicted a coronavirus pandemic would cost the U.S. over $3.8 trillion. We're already well past that. We're at $6 trillion and still climbing. And the president did put in the travel ban 2 days after Navarro raised the warning flag. Polls are open and there are long lines already in some areas of Wisconsin, that state becoming the first in the nation to hold in-person primary voting during the height of this coronavirus pandemic. Voting getting underway today after a fierce battle between Republican leaders and the Democrat governor, who twice attempted to postpone in-person voting and to extend the ability to cast ballots by mail. Republicans said all that's going to do is open up the door for more voter fraud. And so it ended up going to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, that should reemphasize why Trump was needed in the White House. 5-4 decision, they said, go ahead and hold your primary. Question, can the president delay, postpone, or skip the November presidential election? We'll get into that coming up a little bit later in this hour. China is insisting on mainland China no new deaths from COVID-19. None since the outbreak began. No new deaths. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. In the meantime, France is reporting the highest coronavirus death tally in 24 hours. 833 more deaths in that country. And in one town in France, the mayor is fining citizens, issuing fines if they're spitting in public or if they start taking their mask and just kind of throwing them into the street. I think that's a good idea because they're spreading a health hazard. Pakistan is trying to figure out how are we going to quarantine 100,000 who attended a Muslim event. They've already quarantined 20,000 who attended this Islamic gathering. And they're searching for tens of thousands more. In Venezuela, The party goes on if you're part of the ruling elite. If you're rich, you're young, you go out on the beaches, you party, you have your various sexcapades and dancing and drinking and everything else, despite the virus going around. So several children of Venezuela ruling elite, rounded up by police. We'll see if they face any charges. Or if they are set free to go home and spread the virus to those who are either part of their family or who work for their families. The privileges of being rich and among the elite in Venezuela.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
People should not have to decide whether they can vote or be sick. That's just not a good choice for anyone in a democracy. And you would think that the Supreme Court of the United States would not overturn a court decision which gave the voters extra time to do a vote by mail, by a few more days to get their vote by mail ballot in. So you have the Supreme Court of the United States undermining our democracy. It's really shameful. 5-4. Surprise, surprise.
Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, on the Rachel Maddow Show, criticizing the U.S. Supreme Court because it ruled that the Wisconsin primary election would continue as scheduled for today. And in fact, it is. There's a lot of background on this. There's a lot of different material. I need to kind of back this story up to give you a full understanding out of it. There have been other states that decided to reschedule their primaries, move them into June or something. And then when Wisconsin was looking at doing it, the thought then was that we're making the move too late. We should have decided earlier if we're going to do it. Now it's too late. We can't change things up this fast. Now, when Nancy wants you to believe that this was decided 5-4 strictly because of politics, the Supreme Court basically is saying we made this decision based on you don't have time to do anything else, and it's already set. We don't want to change it. I know you can argue either side. We have had so much voter fraud across the nation that the idea that if you're going to change elections up repeatedly and you use something of this nature, you're opening the door for more voter fraud, is not that far-fetched. So even though they are voting today, and absentee ballots must be postmarked no later than today, nothing will really be counted until April 13th. Nearly 1.3 million in Wisconsin had asked for absentee ballots. Nearly 550,000 of those had not yet been returned as of yesterday morning. 11,000 requesting ballots, but they hadn't been one mailed out to them. So they could go vote in person today, or not. Again, this is a primary. This is not the general election where you've got Trump against the Democrat nominee, whomever that might be. Biden. Here's the thing about Wisconsin. When it was Hillary against Trump, here's the way the vote went down. Trump won the popular vote by 0.77%. Popular vote for him, 47.22%. For Hillary, 46.45%. Donald Trump, specific votes, 1.4 million versus 1.38. Wisconsin was one of 11 states that had voted for Bill Clinton twice and then turned around this time and voted for Trump in place of Hillary. And Trump winning, first time since Reagan. 1984. So Democrats are looking at this as a chance to take something away from Trump, and they're all upset because this is their primary. I can't stress to you enough, it's a primary vote. They've got their primary candidates on, Biden. I don't know who else, quite honestly, I don't know who's still left on their ballot since we've had so many drop off. But it's a primary. It's not the general election. And the decision's been made. You still can vote. And the election board did set up the best they can. Separation areas for when voters come in. They have some spacing. The smart folks are still wearing masks, maybe also wearing gloves. But if you listen to the Democrats, for the ones who are always so concerned about making sure everybody gets to vote, here they come again saying you're disenfranchising many Wisconsin residents because they have to decide, do I stay at home because of my health or do I go out and exercise my vote? Could I not stay at home, protect my health, and vote? The answer is yes. But the way this played out, the Supreme Court said, nope, it's already set in motion, move forward with it. And it looks like, I'm going back and looking at the ballot I can pull up here, for Wisconsin, they have, at this point, it's already limited between Biden and Sanders. So it's down to the two of them. I don't think it's going to make any difference one way or the other in their primary. Next question that comes up, and we've had this discussion before with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, and he knows a lot about federal election rules and obviously the Constitution. And that is, if we continue to have, and hopefully we won't, but if we continue to have coronavirus, or if it flares up again as we go into November, for the general election, what would happen? Can Trump cancel the November election? I've got a couple of pieces I pulled together for you on it because I want to give you different perspectives. One of them coming from the New York Times. Could the 2020 election be postponed? The answer is only with great difficulty, but a yes. Vox, which is a publication, can Trump cancel the November election? Answer, no. So you can see already there's division. With the New York Times and the writer Alexander Burns, and again, I always want to cite sources because they did the work. They deserve the credit. I didn't do the work. It's their credit. And there's often a thin line between credit and blame. And in case it's wrong, it's Alexander Burns' report, not mine. I'm just sharing the information with you. But here's what he did for the New York Times. And again, the question being, could the 2020 election be postponed? Only with great difficulty. Here's why. That's all part of the headline. And he pointed out that with Louisiana and Governor Georgia delaying their primary votes, which they have, he said, we answer six key questions about holding elections in a crisis. And no, a president cannot cancel an election with executive authority. Here's where he's going with this. The outbreak inflicting new disruptions on the 2020 campaign by the day, but few comparing it to the decisions by Louisiana and Georgia to reschedule their primary elections. And that they're a highly unusual development, although not entirely unprecedented. And yet, despite them doing that, I'll point out to you again, we've got Wisconsin carrying out its voting even as I speak. And when he's talking about other primaries changing because of response to the virus, he said with the four states that had elections coming up on Tuesday, Florida, Ohio, Arizona, and Illinois, they took precautions. If you recall, at that time, we're talking about early March, March 14, to move the dates. And that the Democrat Party has its own rules requiring all primary elections be completed by June 9th. And, of course, the delegates for the National Convention in Milwaukee be selected by June 20th. Well, now the date of the party convention has been moved to August. So all of those timelines are, again, shifting. The party can make those changes when it comes to the primary. But the general election is set by federal law. It's been fixed since 1845. It would take a change in federal law to move that date. That would mean legislation enacted by Congress, signed by the president, and of course could still be challenged in court. So while the date of the presidential election is set by federal law, the procedures for voting are still generally controlled at the state level. And you have to ask, have we had elections postponed or changed because of a crisis previously? When I last had Hans von Spakovsky on, we were talking about that specifically. Yes, we have had elections moved because of emergencies at the state and local level. And something that many of us were either unaware of or didn't know about because we're not associated with New York, but on 9/11, those terrorist attacks took place on the morning of a primary election, municipal primary election in New York City. That's what they were supposed to be doing in New York City that day, voting. Well, the state legislature had to pass emergency legislation postponing the election by a couple of weeks. And also, you can jump back to 2017, municipal elections in Florida had to be delayed because of Hurricane Irma. It was reported in 2004 that some Bush administration officials discussed putting in place a method of postponing a federal election in the event of a terrorist attack. The idea didn't catch fire. Condoleezza Rice, who was in the National Security Advisor, said the U.S. had, quote, held elections in this country when we were at war, even when we were in civil war, and we should have the elections on time. I fully agree. To the best you can. So Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution gives the executive branch the White House the ability to carry out and enforce federal laws. Article 2, vesting the power of the executive branch in the office of the presidency. And it lays out procedures for electing and removing the president and the president's powers and responsibilities. So again, back to the question. Can the president cancel the election or delay it? Earlier this last month, the Ohio Director of Health delayed that state's primary election because it was scheduled for one of those Super Tuesday events. And she did it with the blessing of the Republican governor and that state Supreme Court. They didn't do it on any bad faith decision, but just thought it might be a good idea to not have the election at that point. Not a lot of noise over it. Wisconsin, however, they're making their noise and they will continue. A couple more aspects of this that you should be aware of. And also I want to revisit a dire situation involving autopsies and coronavirus victims when we continue.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So as we wrap up this little summation and understanding of constitutional law and the presidential election, a set, three different federal laws actually set election day for presidential electors, senators, and U.S. representatives. And they are set as, quote, the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November. I know it sounds confusing as it can be, but that's the way they did it. The Tuesday next after the first Monday in November. And if the decision is needed to change the law for the national federal election for the presidency, Republicans will have to work with Democrats and get it done. The White House, the president cannot make it on his own. And then you also have the 20th Amendment, providing that the terms of the president and vice president shall end at noon on the 20th day of January. So even if the election were canceled, Trump and Pence's terms would still expire as scheduled. Of course, then they got to figure out, well, who's going to be able to follow them? What happens at that point for the chain of command and the line of succession. But as it is, the 20th Amendment said, the terms of the president and vice president shall end at noon on the 20th day of January. Not so fast, you Democrats. I didn't say this time. That would be in 2024, not 2020. I'm not going to let you go down that road unchallenged. All right, so we have an issue, as we had stated earlier, with the corona death count. Coroners can determine if someone died of the COVID-19, but they have to use the same exact test kits and information used to detect if someone living has COVID-19. And there's a shortage. They're trying to get the numbers out. They're trying to come up with additional tests and speedier tests. But what this means right now is that we have many deaths that are going down as listed, maybe prematurely, maybe accurately, as COVID-19 related, especially if the person had underlying health issues and came in with some of these similar signs that we've seen with COVID-19. The problem is we don't know at this point the actual death count from COVID-19, and until they get the proper test, all the autopsies done, we won't know. You like to think the numbers are going to taper off and not be there, but are they tapering off because we can't identify it or because we're actually getting a better hold on dealing with it? And, of course, for many on the left and the mainstream media, they don't mind this virus going on. They want basically anything they can to upset this presidency, this White House, and to punish him, even if it means punishing the American people, the innocents. Of course, if you're a Trump supporter, they don't think you're so innocent. But Senator Ted Cruz says the left wants the virus. They want it, and they want it to continue and ramp up. You'll hear from the senator when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You see the media, much of the mainstream media, trying to root for disaster. They're rooting for this pandemic to be worse and worse. And you saw, you know, the Washington Post self-proclaimed fact checker was cheering about a line from the State of the Union where the president said we had the lowest unemployment in 50 years. And the Washington Post was saying, well, gosh, that didn't stand up well to the test of time. Well, no, you moron. We had the lowest African-American and Hispanic unemployment ever recorded until a global pandemic that originated in Wuhan in China came and ended up causing absolute chaos and catastrophe. But yet the media, we should be coming together to root for America, to root for defeating this pandemic, and to root for jobs coming back. And I think too many partisan Democrats want to just use this catastrophe to attack Trump rather than come together and fight for our country.
I fully agree. The words of Senator Ted Cruz. We talked about this extensively. And I told you that every day I come in, I think, today I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole with the leftists trying to destroy our country from inside by rooting for the virus, rooting for it to cause more jobs to be lost, rooting for American people to suffer so they can blame it on Trump. But I every day I end up reaching the point like I cannot ignore it. I just cannot look away and say, okay, they mean nothing. They do matter, and they do mean something because they got legions of idiots following them that buy every word they say. I mean, they have been saying for some time that Trump is basically to blame, even to the point where they said Trump has blood on his hands because of this virus, as if Trump himself initiated the virus and then purposely spread it to America. Senator Ted Cruz pointed out this began in Wuhan, China. And they kept it silent for who knows, 8 weeks maybe? And then when it began to come out, they were still denying they could be transferred person to person. When some of their own medical staff and those they had working on it realized, hey, we're getting sick and we did not eat anything suspected of having this disease. And in fact, we're just working with what we have, and yet we're coming down with it and dying. And China lied to the World Health Organization, telling them that you can tell the rest of the world it's not that big of a deal. So for a period of time, President Trump accepts the word of the World Health Organization. I'm not saying he bought it hook, line, and sinker, but that we didn't have any independent information at the time. We didn't think. But there was a voice trying to make himself heard. And that is Peter Navarro, White House trade advisor. And he was doing a good job. And he wasn't being ignored. It's just a matter of getting everyone on the same page and being able to support what you're stating. But that lack of time had nothing to do with what ended up as far as escalation of the virus. And I'll explain that in more detail in a moment. But right now, it still comes down to the fact the Democrats want to put all the blame for the virus and blame him for inaction, slow to react, overreact, and say Trump is making a mistake every which way he turns. Senator Cruz.
I chaired a hearing on the coronavirus over a month ago. The CDC said the president's decision to halt air travel in and out of China and to quarantine any Americans coming back from China substantially slowed the growth of this virus in the United States, and it reduced the number of infections, and it saved lives in America. And yet, right now, Biden and Pelosi and the press are all trying to rewrite history to pretend they supported what they criticized and opposed at the time.
He's absolutely right again, and I'm going to break that down for you. In fact, I'm going to let you hear from Biden himself in a moment where he contradicts himself. And in fact, it's going to be a case of Joe Biden debating Joe Biden. Now, who the hell could win in that argument? Both losers. Joe Biden versus Joe Biden? And what CNN anchor Anderson Cooper was also trying to spin a story, again, to make it appear that Trump had no idea what was going on? Let me take you back to what I mentioned a moment ago with White House trade advisor Peter Navarro. There were memos, and he was writing them, at that time warning that there could be a pandemic. He said he had seen some evidence that we could have, because we had a lack of immune protection or an existing cure vaccine, that we would have Americans defenseless if the coronavirus outbreak occurred on U.S. soil. So he had published a memo, or rather actually sent a memo, inside the White House in mid-January, I think it was. Can't get the exact date here. I think the 27th. Warning that this could happen. He delivered the warnings to several at the White House in internal memos dated January and again in Feb. Now, the first Navarro memo was dated January 29, but he had made statements prior to that time, warning again that this virus, what was happening in China, could lead to 2 million deaths in the U.S. and trillions of dollars in economic damage. You know what he estimated at that time? He estimated maybe $4.8 trillion. We are well past $4.8 trillion, and we're still going up as we work on another stimulus package. And he wasn't being ignored. It's just a matter of what other supporting evidence do you have? And he is the one who ended up convincing the president to, in fact, put that travel ban on China and start restricting flights from China. The first memo came, and when it did, at the time, the president was downplaying the prospect of the virus reaching our shores. And in part because of what he was being told by the World Health Organization, who in turn was just parroting China. And then we began to realize that's all they're doing, and China is lying. So then the president on January 31 did issue restricting travel from China. January 31, the president decides to restrict China. Here came Joe Biden. Because what do they do best on the left? The best thing they do is pull a race card. That is their weapon that they think they can defeat everyone. That they put that race card and stick it in your face, you will cower. You will get back in the corner and you will sit there sniveling and saying, I'm not a racist, and maybe just hold your tongue while they wave the card over you. And you're afraid to speak out, because the more you speak out, the more you appear to be a racist. And Joe Biden, one of the first to come to the microphone, Donald Trump declaring we need to stop the flights from China. We need to be aware of Chinese coming in from China that might be carrying this virus. The president makes that statement, initiates a stoppage of the flights, and on that same date, here's Joe Biden on January 31.
This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science.
No time for fear-mongering, xenophobia. He was calling out Trump with a race card. Yesterday, here's what Biden had to say about stopping all flights coming from China or elsewhere in the world.
You know, 45 nations had already moved to keep block China's personnel from being able to come to the United States before the president moved. It's about pace. It's about the urgency, and I don't think there's been enough of it.
In other words, the president was wrong because he declared January 31 stopping, and then because Biden says he was too slow to move, he's wrong. Well, let's hear Joe Biden debate himself on that point. Joe Biden number one, Joe Biden number two.
This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science. You know, 45 nations had already moved to keep block China's personnel from being able to come to the United States before the president moved. It's about pace. It's about the urgency, and I don't think there's been enough of it.
He was urgent January 31, and he was racist and xenophobic. And then just yesterday, Biden determines, well, Trump was not that urgent. So maybe he wasn't xenophobic. Maybe he's not racist. Let me see. Do we have a soundbite anywhere of Joe Biden saying, I withdraw that statement? We don't have that thing, do we? Why don't we have that, Quentin? Because he never said it. That's why. Exactly. He never said it. Oh, I'm not done with this part of this subject. You think I'm going to settle down right now? No. I got a few more minutes on this program, and I got a little bit more to say about this issue. Joe Biden, call me up here.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've got CNN and all the mainstream media and the leftists every day declaring war on Trump, because when he holds these news conferences, and answers questions. Maybe goes way too long. I tend to think he does. They say all he's doing is trying to rewrite history. The Democrats and left know about rewriting history. They do. That's why all the Constitution is changing as far as civil rights statutes and so forth are being removed from the South, because that never happened. Not in their history book. And Anderson Cooper the other day talking about what the president has shown us, that February was a lost month and people died because of that, because all he was doing is up there politicizing. Really. Politicizing, like, for instance, talking about what we need to do, separating, stay distance, maybe a malaria drug might be helpful. And you got Democrat frontrunner Joe Biden doing his little thing. He did what he called an edited style of live streaming with three families asking pertinent questions, like one of the family members asking, are we going to be able to go to Europe this summer? Yep, that's a big question. He said, are we able to stop in the future? Biden saying, well, you can't build a wall. Oh, yeah, that's great stuff. And then you have one of Biden's science advisors joining with the left again, saying that Trump has been pushing this hydroxychloroquine as if he's got money in it. We don't know. We don't know if it'll work. Trump has never said it's a magic bullet. He said it seems to work on some, not everyone. And in New York, 4,000 New Yorkers seriously ill have been on that drug, along with a couple of others, and they seem to be doing better so far. And in fact, there's a woman in Michigan who came down with COVID-19. She wasn't sure what she had, but she went home March 12th, not feeling well. Her health seemed to get worse. Took a while, she said, for me to get to my doctor, get an appointment, then actually get the COVID test. I got the test, and then it was documented I had it, and my health began to just go really bad. It went from headaches being severe to fluid building up in my legs, my lungs, I should say, sweats, breaking into coughing, my breathing labored. All happened in a matter of hours. I did not think I'm going to get out of the hospital. And then I heard that this COVID drug that the president had said might be helpful, the malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine. I thought, well, I want some of that. But she lives in Michigan. And the governor of Michigan, a Democrat, had also decided, along with the left-wing media, that Trump was giving nothing but lies every time. And if he's up there pushing this hydroxychloroquine as a possible saving device, a savior of lives, then it must not be true. So she had demanded doctors in her state do not prescribe that off its standard use of malaria. You cannot be using it to treat COVID-19 patients. If you do, we will investigate you. In other words, we'll come after your medical license. So this woman in Michigan is going through all these aches and ailments I just described and having trouble breathing. And she knows a drug could help, but she's not getting it because the governor had issued an order. The governor finally relented and decided to let the drug start being dispensed in her state. Then they realized they didn't have enough of it. So they had to expedite and get more of the drug into Michigan. And they got it in, and they got it to this woman just in time, possibly. She said if President Trump had not brought that up in the briefings and pushed it every day, I might not have gotten the drug. She got the drug, and she said within hours of being administered the drug, she was feeling much better. She's basically saying and praising the president for saving her life, because he was pushing that drug and saying that drug might work. Was not going to be promised that it would. But when you're desperate, when you can't breathe, can you imagine what it's like? Maybe some of you are like that. You can sometimes, you just have a hard time drawing a breath. Maybe it's something that's nothing more than a standard cold in your chest or something, but imagine that accelerated. Or that you're at the bottom of the pool and you need air, but you can't draw because you're at the bottom of the pool and you feel like you're drowning anyway. That's what many of the folks have described, and this woman was doing the same thing. She said, I just didn't know. if I'm going to be able to survive or not. The drug could help me, but they won't prescribe it. Not in my state. And then the governor of the state made a change, said, okay, go ahead and prescribe it. But then they didn't have enough of it. So then finally they get some, and I got some. The woman has also had chronic Lyme disease. So she was a candidate for death. But she says, hydroxychloroquine saved my life. President Trump saved my life. Oh, one other thing about this woman. She's a lawmaker, state lawmaker in Michigan. A state representative. A Democrat in Michigan. Praising President Trump for saving her life. Just thought I'd add that fact for you. As always, we appreciate you listening. Please let your friends, family know we're on the air. We'll be back again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.